So I don't really know what this podcast is going to be about. There's no kind of theme or anything.
Okay.
I just bought this nice gear. And I figure I'll put a microphone in front of people that I know and that I like.
Yeah.
And I figure we can just record something. I'll put it out there on the newsletter.
Okay.
Not even actually as maybe not even like an RSS feed.
Oh, really?
And the timing of starting the podcast. Have some nice sound.
It's bin day.
Yeah.
He's going to pick up about four of them, I think.
Yep. So there's a garbage truck. I mean, I don't even know if it comes through in the recording. There's a pretty direct mics, but anyway, there's some background noise for the
what's
first.
The equipment?
This thing, it's a Zoom F3. It's a 32-bit float field recorder.
Right.
So there's no levels to set.
Oh, wow.
Because it's got so much dynamic range in the audio, you can just like tweak it in post if it's not loud enough, you can just boost it up.
Up it up, yeah.
And obviously, if it's background noise, you can't do much about that. But you can boost and lower without, because there actually is no setting for gain. I can zoom in on the waveform.
Yeah.
But
that's it.
That's it. There's no gain control.
It's a pretty good little display too with the waveform.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got these, like, you can actually strap it onto stuff.
Oh.
It's supposed to be for, like, you know, film out, like, heavy-duty film recording and stuff.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
But I mean, it's like, what, $350, something like that, $400.
Yeah,
and
it's
you can use it as a USB interface, if you like, so you can plug it into a computer.
I've spent more on things that I don't
exactly.
use.
Exactly. That's why I figure, look, these mics are, like, $80 each. Mm. This thing's $350. I can use it as a USB interface if I like. So
I love the back. I don't think it is picking up the background noise of the Isuzu garbage, but hopefully it is because it's more ambiance.
Yes, I mean the banging of the. I mean, when I got here just 5 minutes before, there were a bunch of like, little kids playing.
Oh, really?
And then they saw Megan and their parents were there too.
Yeah,
and they saw Megan. They left. So it's like, oh, okay. I didn't know I had. That kind of effect on little children.
I mean,
scared of me.
Two white guys with microphones sitting in a park. Children's playground.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, they were making less noise than that bin was. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Well, I like that you introed it with a friend. Like, yes. I've reached that level that I'm now considered a friend.
Well, I mean, I'm learning you for what, 15?
Maybe. Almost more, I reckon.
Maybe 20 years?
Maybe 20.
Yeah. And 20. On the 20-year, I think that bin has been emptied already. Okay. I was worried they're going to, like, there's a pumpkin bin right next to us, so they're going to open it up, slam it shut.
I don't think the regular garbos do that. It has to be a council park bin person. But I reckon I moved to Melbourne nearly 24, so 23 years ago, I reckon.
2001 or 2002. Because we did meet on Mac Talk, right? Or was it?
I think we, because there was a podcast network called that a guy called Cameron O'Reilly ran.
I remember him.
And he tapped me on the shoulder to do a Mac podcast. It's called the Mac User Show or something like that. And I think we connected through that even before Apple Talk, which was then Mac Talk.
Yeah. I mean, possibly maybe asked me to be on it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Because it was in the days before, I think podcasts were just starting.
They just popped up in iTunes as a feature.
And everyone had a network, not just comedy channels like they do now.
Yeah.
And he was starting one, and he was based up in Brizzy. I think he used to work for Microsoft.
Okay.
And he's since done a whole bunch of stuff. He's very into history. He has like a whole Napoleonic sort of podcast series.
Well, that's kind of on trend right now, because like the whole, like, you know, do you think of the Roman Empire meme?
Yeah.
Have you seen that meme before?
I saw it
on TikTok. I think TikTok's moved on now. But I still get a couple of videos in there.
Yeah, okay.
So that's on trend.
Yeah. Well,
looking up history of ancient stuff.
He also produced a documentary about Jesus.
Okay.
And like, is it all the stories, where they come from, what's the you know, factual evidence and so forth. It was pretty interesting. Okay. I can't remember the name.
Was it more of a like a atheist take or like a Christian take? Was he just trying to like, was this guy true, or was it just made up stories?
I think it's a bit of both. Like, he examines what's out there and the evidence, but it's more of the atheist take than anything else. I saw it at Nova in Lygon Street. So, you know, it did okay, I think. But anyway, so yeah, I think through that, and then Apple Talk, and then Mac Talk, and then Reckoner, and then Sizzle, and you know, whatever else. It's been a while.
Yes. So the people listening to this probably see Raj most when I had to take a day off. I just annoy Raj the day before and say, hey, can you write this for me? And luckily lately it's been able to fill in. Because did you find a job yet? Or are you still?
At this very point, I'm like stage six of into eight stages of one. So maybe if you did this in 2 weeks, I could say yes or no. but we'll see. I've got to do a presentation for the next round.
I guess you are going for kind of higher tier jobs. It's not just entry level stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's sort of exec-y, I guess. But I mean, yeah, it's a load of wank. But it's all a part of the process for those types of things. 3 hour presentation. I've got to do.
Oh, 3 hour. Geez.
Yeah, I get paid though. So
that's all right. Yeah. Still, sitting through a 3 hour presentation, I should get paid.
It's like do a presentation for an hour or so, and then field questions, and then it's another. Six people I've got it. It's like a board that I've got. Okay. Anyway, it's fun.
I'll have to ask you about who it's with after the podcast.
Yes,
When the microphone's turned off.
Yeah. It's not. I'm not under an NDA. Oh, actually, no.
Well, I mean, you haven't started.
I did have to sign an NDA
to apply for the job. Yeah, I've had that before. Where it's like, look, yes, we think you're half decent. Sign this NDA, and then we can go through and tell you more about this job.
A lot of what I have to present on and stuff with these types of things is like, you know, you need to know how they operate and how they can improve their operations, and that's why they want you to come in. That's where we're at. So yeah, lately I've had a little more time on my hands. I am still working. I'm coding again, which is
fun.
Yeah, it's okay. It has ups and downs.
One of the few questions I had in mind, I was thinking, what can I, just in case there is a bit of silence, what can I say to prompt someone else talking? And one of them was like, do you still find computers like enjoyable fun? Because I've been sitting back thinking, you know, I turn 40 in a few months, and it's like, I remember being 20. Mm-hmm. And excited by these things. Like, I actually would line up for things. I'd pre-order things. You know, spend more money than what I had to buy these interesting devices.
Definitely.
And now I just couldn't give a fuck. I just can't. The Apple Vision Pro, for example, take that for example.
Yeah.
I know two people with them in
Australia?
In Melbourne.
Oh, wow.
And they're friends. I could easily ask them. One of them actually asked me, do you want to come have a look?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, next time I'm in Melbourne. Yeah. I can't be bothered making that trip specifically to go have a look for it. Look at it.
Look how you've changed.
And imagine that 20 years ago.
Mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
So that's why I wanted to ask you, like, do you still have, like, is it just like a thing, like a job now, or is it just, do you still enjoy some kind of technology or the internet or computer stuff?
I definitely enjoy technology still. Like, I don't think I'll ever not enjoy technology, but I'm similar to you, right? I'm not chasing it. I'm not lining up for anything. I don't know if I ever actually have lined up. The iPhone 3G I lined up for in Canada when that first came out. But yeah, it's not like it's not like a diehard passion. But that said, you know, I like playing with cool stuff. You know, I just spent 2 days on the weekend installing a new Ubiquiti Switch. I don't really need the Switch, right? I don't need a rack above my fridge that makes more noise than my fridge. But it's cool. It's fun.
I mean, and for me, why did I? It's because I want it to work.
Yeah.
Like, I've got enough money now that's like, I don't want to spend it on cheap stuff anymore. I want something that works. I can leave it and forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I've had fun building the rack mount and cabling and, you know, making it look neat. I just ordered about $70 worth of patch cables because I can be I know I was swearing on this, but
yes,
I couldn't be fucked like cutting them up and making them all myself. And I wanted different colors for different appliances that were plugging in. And like the red wire is the internet. Don't unplug the red wire. Like, you know, that type of stuff. So, you know, that I go through spurts, like home automation. I've got a whole home assistant set up and all of that stuff. And I like tinkering with it and playing with it. But then I'll like get to a point that I won't touch it for like 2 or 3 months, and then something will break, and it's like, oh fuck, I've got to, like, it's so annoying. It doesn't work seamlessly, and I don't give a shit who you are. Nothing in home automation works seamlessly.
I've barely touched the surface of home automation stuff, and it's just like I just
all this
20 years ago, I think I would have cared a bit more.
Yeah.
But now it's just like I just don't need. I'll give you this example. I'm getting a new air conditioner installed on Thursday.
Yeah.
And one of the options, the guy's slung it because he came to my house to have it, like, to obviously look in the ceiling for the ducts and whatnot. And he came to give me a quote, and he's like, oh, I can see, you know, you got the data connections in the garage. Yeah. You got, like, you know, the fancy electric car. You go to a home cinema stuff, you obviously like tech stuff. I'm like, yeah, I do. And he gave me a quote for the control panel. It's this like Android tablet with like smart stuff on it.
Yeah.
And I told him, I actually don't want this.
Yeah.
I can see why you might think that I want it. But I want, for my air conditioning, I just want it to turn on, set a temperature, and it just makes cold air comes out or hot air comes out.
Yeah.
I don't need any of that stuff. It's like, oh, okay, fair enough. So, yeah. And that's taken me like $2,500.
Yeah, and to be honest, those types of tablets and integration things for aircon, they're just a waste of money. Like, you can get, we're going down a rabbit hole of home automation, but you can get controllers that basically plug into the back of the panel or the unit that they put in the ceiling, and that'll essentially integrate into Home Assistant or whatever. So you get the functionality, like the tablet or the screen is just a shitty Android tablet running their software.
Yeah, well, I can see in the photos in the brochure, you can see the menu bar.
Yeah.
Like, that's just an Android 8.
Yeah, you know, it's just bullshit. Menu
bar. Yeah.
My dishwasher has Wi-Fi connected.
Yeah, mine too. I set up when I got it, and then I got a new phone.
Yeah.
And I didn't put the app back on.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, okay, I didn't. It was kind of nice to know when it finished, but it's like, well.
My house is smaller than this playground that we're sitting in. So, like, I can hear when my dishwasher is finished, right? It plays its little fancy tune and whatever. You know, we just had solar installed. That's cool to kind of see that, like, go in and out on the Home Assistant dashboard. And so we're typically putting on the dishwasher during the day to use the solar energy. Like, so, and I work from home. So it's pretty easy to know when the dishwasher's done. You know, I mean, here's an example of things that you don't need that I'm thinking of setting up. A motion sensor. You get these like $2 motion sensors that work off Zigbee or Z-Wave or whatever protocol you want. Sticking one in my letterbox so I know when mail's been delivered.
Yeah, that, I've thought about that one as well.
Yeah. Like 99% of the stuff that gets put in my letterbox is junk.
Yep.
Or it's for someone that lived in my house somewhere over the last 130 years when it was built. So it's probably not the most useful thing, but, you know, it's kind of, it might make my life a little easier.
Well, for me, it's like, well, I want to know what something's in there so that the kids, when they finish school, don't come past my house and just ransack the mailbox.
Yeah. Just,
that happens a lot.
Mine's too small for parcels anyway and stuff as well, so... anyway, it's one of those things. I don't need it. The greatest thing ever through home automation is that I have is when I close the bathroom door, I have Shelly switches attached to the fan, the light. And so if it's at night time, it'll turn on the light. If it's any time of day, it'll turn on the exhaust fan automatically. Oh, yeah. And when I open the door, it turns it off.
Yep.
And there's a Sonos speaker in there that... randomly chooses a phrase to say as you walk in, something like "Welcome to Browntown," or "Is it number ones or number twos?" It's always interesting. I've had a lot of tradies in my house that have had to use the bathroom.
You should be freaked out about that.
Yeah. Oh, your hair's looking good today. That's another one. Like, I think I loaded in about 40 phrases that I came up with, and then it turns on double J.
Okay.
In terms of
listeners and tunes while you're taking a dump.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like it's a small house, Anthony.
True. I can imagine.
So
like in Japan, they have the little button on the toilet for the like music noises.
Yeah. So that's probably the most useful one, but even that breaks. Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, people who listen to this who will say, "Oh, I love my home automation. I really need it."
Mm.
I have found it useful for people who have like mobility issues. So my mum uses it a lot just to like turn on the lights.
Oh yeah.
You know, to turn off the TV.
Because
the remote control might have fallen down.
I can't get
up that easily. It's not worth the effort to get up to pick that up. Whereas she can use her voice just to say, you know, turn off TV and turns off.
Yeah.
And that stuff, when it works, is great. But even it's hard to rely on it full time because it breaks. For like Google, because she uses a lot of Google stuff.
Yeah.
So it's the easiest one I could set up for her.
Yeah.
They're ending a lot of these automations for seemingly no reason.
Yeah, that's the problem with Google.
So I've had to look into some alternatives in home automation. Now I've got to put a little box in their house that runs it all, and I've got to have a task of VPN to log into it. And it's like, I should have to do this.
Yeah.
It should just work. Google has plenty of money.
Yeah.
These things, add an extra $10 on the price of it, they're cheap enough.
Yeah.
And then you can keep it running for another decade.
Yeah, and that's what this Matter protocol is all about, is like, so you... Because everyone has their own ecosystem, Apple, Google, Amazon, whoever. And so if you get Matter devices, and theoretically it should work across anyone that supports Matter. So Apple, for example, are kind of pushing for it. Samsung, that's another ecosystem. Akara, that's another one. Like there's so many of them.
They're all
own hubs, own apps. It's all cool. And they're all terrible. Including Apple's.
Apple's is just hard to use. Like, where do you, like, there's like no like app really. Like there's a home app, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's all over the place as to what works and what doesn't.
That you need a hub, which could be an Apple TV, or it could be the Apple. What's the speaker called?
The HomePod.
HomePod Mini, I think. So it's just weird that you need. Like, I get it. You need some sort of device that things attach to and can talk to all the time, but it could be multiple things, which is strange. Mm. Anyway, it's not going to solve any problems anytime soon. No one really wants it, because then it's like, well, if Apple support Matter, then they can't force you to pay for that HomeKit brand that you have to slap on your box.
Yeah.
So they're not really pushing for it.
No, I don't see them making a big fuss about it. I mean, which if you want to talk about something relevant, the DOJ in the USA, and the European Union has told Apple, no, that's not good enough what you've proposed. You know, we're going to fine you 10% of your earnings in the EU and stuff. So
it's the same as the car park at the Melbourne airport. The train to the Melbourne airport, right? But you ask the airport about it. Yeah. We're all set up. We're ready for the train. We've built our roads around it. You ask the government about it. Yeah. It's part of the big transport projects, but it never really moves forward. And the reality is the airport makes more money off of car parking than they do off of flights.
Your planes.
So there is no way the airport wants a rail link for that reason. So anyway, it's everyone's got their own agendas. But to get back to your question... Obviously, I'm passionate about that. We've just spoken about it for 20 minutes.
Answer that question. I mean, I guess maybe the question then is it fun anymore? I don't know if it's fun. It seems to be more frustrating, and like you try and get a solution out of frustration, and like I need to beat this into submission rather than, oh, I'm having a fun time exploring this and setting it up and learning something new.
Yeah.
It's more, fuck's sake, just work. I want this to work.
I think like my engineering background, software developer, whatever you want to call it, is always the dopamine hit is solving the puzzle or the riddle to get things to work, right? It's pretty black and white. It works or it doesn't work. Yeah, sure, you could probably do it better ways or quicker ways, but at the end of the day, it's on or off. And it's the same with all this other stuff, right? Home automation. It either works or it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't. It stops working and you spend ages debugging it and trying to figure out why. And then you go like, oh, that's why. And then it works again. So, yeah, I think there's a dopamine hit associated to that for me anyway.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I used to think I liked it because I was good at it. And it's like, well, this is just what I'm good at. This is just what I am. People told me when I was a kid that I'm good at this computer stuff, so I should do it more. But now I'm not that good. I mean, there's so many people who are like leagues above.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I think the internet is more what is interesting. I think if you took away the internet from the computer, would I still care about the computer? And I don't think so.
Nah. This the basically the same thing these days. Like,
now it is, but I mean, like pre-internet. I mean, the computer and the internet came into my life at the same time.
Mm.
I mean, I liked the computer as a toddler, like a 10-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At that age, when there was no internet on the computer, it was pretty much just like an Apple II or like a 386 to play games on.
Mm.
It was games that I liked, maybe not so much the computer itself.
Yeah.
So, and then the internet came along, and I liked the internet.
Yeah.
Not so much the computer. The computer was the necessary tool to get onto the internet, and that's what I liked.
Yeah, and I was probably the other way around, I'd say. Like, I liked the computer, and then along came the internet.
Mm.
And that was because I grew up in the country, and to even connect to a bulletin board, like, so it was going way back, was an STD phone call. So, you know, it would cost dollars just to be online per minute.
Yep,
not for the day or for a subscription.
When the internet came around, was there like a local number you could call for that, or was it still
eventually? Adelaide? I think by the time I graduated high school, there were a couple of providers in town, and you know, dial up internet. So, but it wasn't any of the big players. Not like the telcos or anything. It was local.
Some companies. Some nerd in the garage. He had five modems.
I was like the local PC store.
That's right.
And they'd done some deal with Camtek, I think, as like to be a pop, a point of presence that you could dial into. And they basically just shoved all the racks in the back of this PC store and got some phone numbers. But yeah, it wasn't. Like, I was on CompuServe before...
CompuServe, I remember... Internet. How old are you? I actually don't know.
43.
So you're just a little bit older than me. Yeah. So that little time difference.
Yeah.
CompuServe, by the time I was, like, old enough to understand what these things are, about, like, 10, 11, 12, CompuServe was already kind of a bit fading out.
Yeah. Well, there were, like, two or three versions of CompuServe that I went through. And, you know, it was like a GUI to a bulletin board system and originally.
Because there was like an actual program you launched. And it did everything.
Yes, yeah. It had messaging, it had, you know, news and everything like, but giant big buttons. It was Apple kind of, they tried to emulate it with eWorld or whatever it was called, which didn't last. But and then there was another version of CompuServe. I can't remember what it was called, but it was like avatars. It was like playing Maniac Mansion and you were walking around as an avatar between screen to screen, and you'd have like a store and you'd have like the newspaper like office.
Was it like a CompuServe branded thing?
Yeah, I think so. If I'm remembering correctly, the closest thing for people that are like not ancient like us, if you've watched Control Alt Delete, they had one of the seasons was like creating a world where you could walk around between sections, and that I can't remember what they called it in the show, but it's basically the CompuServe, and that was where they got the idea from. Not in the show, but like where they've taken it from and applied it to the show.
I don't know. CompuServe had that. I remember CompuServe because I would go to the local library and be books about CompuServe, and I would look at them, and it would be like, it was. Now I think something like that now could work pretty well. If that's kind of what we have with Facebook and Microsoft and Google, they're just
virtual towns
over HTTP instead of in an app.
I just finished reading a book called Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. I think it's either three or four tomorrows. Yeah, I can't remember, by Gabrielle something starting with a Z, and it's about two kids that meet in a children's hospital who go on to create video games together. And it's like their journey from like the mid-90s through to today-ish and what their lives are like going through. But they create these virtual worlds where you can walk around and go, you know, town to town and do things like that. So it's I'm trying not to confuse that with what I remember from CompuServe and real. Yeah, exactly. So, but it's for anyone that wants a good read, it's a great way. I think it was on the bestseller list a couple of years
ago. It's a fiction book, right?
Fiction, yeah. But for anyone that grew up in the 90s, like, there's a lot of references to video game and what they go through and how they develop games and, like, id Software and Sonic the Hedgehog and all of those types of things. So, yeah, it's a really good read. It's a heartbreaking read, but it's a good one.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah. What were we talking about before that?
just
getting online, like, back in, like, yeah, I think, I liked the internet more than I only realized this in the past few years. When I get nostalgic about my childhood, I'm not nostalgic about the computers or the games. It's about the internet that I grew up on.
Yeah.
And I think that's what interests me the more. And now I'm looking back, it's like, yeah, when I look at what I've done in the past, it's all been internet stuff, not computer stuff. Like, I'm not a programmer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a good hardware person. I can do things. But what really interested me was the internet.
And yeah.
I think the internet now is kind of slowly kind of turning back to that.
Yeah.
I think people have seen what it's like when, like, five companies rule everything. And I think there's a big chunk of people, I mean, it's not the majority, but a good chunk of people are going, actually, you know what? I kind of don't want this. I kind of want, back to the way it was. And because the internet is so large and so many people are on it now, 1%, 0.5% of those people is still millions of people.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, you don't need to make a product that appeals to the whole internet anymore, for sure.
Yeah, because the whole thing was, we need to get more people on the internet. We need to make it easy, we need to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that. And look at it now. It kind of sucks if you hang out in those places. Like, Facebook now, it's amazing to watch as an outsider of Facebook. Like, if you don't take it seriously, Facebook, it is just hilarious as to what it is now.
Yeah. It's a garbage fire. I mean,
it's so important for people to communicate still. Like,
well,
if you took it away from let's say Facebook was banned tomorrow in Australia because they didn't want to pay up for the news thing. Let's say that actually happens. That is a possibility. That could happen.
Yeah, yeah.
The government could make Facebook a regulated entity, force them to negotiate with the media companies. And if they don't, well, you're banned from operating in Australia.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. There'll be some other compromise.
No, definitely not.
But if it did happen, let's say it was just shut down, just banned. The Facebook, like what happened in the USA with was the plan to do with TikTok, Google and Apple can't put it on the app stores in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't get the Facebook app.
Yeah.
And you go to Facebook.com, the DNS resolvers just don't load it up. You have to use some VPN to access it. I think it would be almost, like, for a lot of people, it would be a net loss. I think for us, it wouldn't.
Oh, no.
I think for a lot of people, it would be a net loss. They would lose a way to communicate with their communities.
Yep.
They would lose a way to share stuff with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And businesses will lose a very, very valuable way to communicate with customers in a way that they couldn't before that.
Mm.
But it still sucks.
Yeah, like Messenger for probably the generation after us.
Yeah.
Like that is one of the primary forms of contact. And then, does that also, Messenger's integrated inside of Instagram. You know, Facebook ban, does that include Instagram? Like there's... I had to live through, in a working capacity, the legislation a couple of years ago where Facebook withdrew from the news, right? And that was eye-opening as to how reliant we as a company, like where I was, which was, sports information and data and things like that, but we had journalists writing articles and then promoting them on Facebook to get, like, interaction and bring people, like, audiences in. Just removing that one element saw a massive drop in traffic. And it's just because that's where our audience lived.
Yeah.
Like, that was the town hall. Like, that was the first thing that they looked at every day.
And I think a lot of people who maybe listen to this podcast or read the sizzle, they forget that.
Yeah.
I think they didn't realize how... People may not like Facebook. They know Zuckerberg's a bit dodgy. They know there's data happening in the background, but they don't really connect to the dots and they don't really understand you can live without it, but they want what it has.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, so we're going through that again, right? Canada Canada went through with it and Facebook just withdrew news entirely.
Have they put it back on yet?
No, I don't believe so. Like
the, just a stalemate then?
So, yeah, they just said, no, we'll just take news off. And there is no news in Canada. And then on Instagram, there's posts or accounts that you just can't see, like they're shadow banned. So you can see the profile page, but none of the posts or stories or anything load. And there's a lot of, let's say, millennial brands now in Australia that are freaking out about the same thing. Like one of the biggest one is, it's called The Daily Oz, I think.
They're, a lot of people, when I talk to them about the Sizzle, they're like, oh, so you're kind of like the Daily, but for the techniques, I'm like, no, I don't use Instagram as like a crack addict.
Yeah.
But yes, there is news and I do put it on the internet. But yeah, for someone like that, if Facebook just goes, we don't want news, and of course that's what they've said. They've said, we don't want news.
Yeah.
Like, we don't think it's important to people, to our platform, and it's more hassle than what it's worth for us.
Exactly. And
that business is cooked.
They're freaking out. Like, everything that they've been putting out over the last few weeks is like, we're available elsewhere. You can subscribe to our newsletter. You can listen to our podcast. You can watch them on YouTube. You know, however you want to spin it. It's like, but the reality is your audience is Instagram.
Yes.
And they're not going to follow you to somewhere else.
No.
But because they're addicted to Instagram. That's the home. That's the base.
Well, that's what I found with the Sizzle. People, I can advertise on those platforms all I want, but they just don't want to do anything outside of it.
Yeah.
Like people are just so used to that. And when we were younger, that just wasn't the case. Like we would click a link and not be scared.
Yeah.
Like we would be like, oh, what's next? Like the hyperlink is an amazing invention and it's really cool.
Yeah.
But now it's just, you don't even see them. Like since when do you see a link on YouTube, on Facebook or on Instagram or on YouTube or on TikTok?
No.
They just don't want you to click out.
No.
So that they don't use them.
Well, and if you do click on them, they track absolutely everything, especially.
And there's an actual warning. It says you are leaving the safety of Facebook.
Yeah.
We're not responsible for what happens on this site.
Which is basically Apple's argument with like payment systems outside of their own. It's like, well, hang on. You might be typing in your credit card details in something that's not real. Yeah. Like, this could be a scam. Anyway, it's all fear tactics, scare tactics. But it's really interesting. Like, I hadn't thought about it from the point of a hyperlink, right? Like, you used to, that was a big thing of SEO and even just writing a story.
Ahrefs in little brackets.
Yeah.
It's a very easy thing to do. And
something that you needed to do to keep people on your site was like getting them cycling through different articles or whatever that you'd written that were related to what you were writing about. But Facebook, bang, one link, prominent. Like, it's just there. Twitter or X, whatever, one link, like, and then he took away the title. Yeah.
just like a random picture. Yeah. And like, this makes no sense. Why is there a picture of this and like a few words?
Yeah. It's really interesting that we've sort of moved away from that collaborative linking culture.
Yeah. I mean, I think about if you're wanting to start something, like either a publication or to share something that you've done. Let's say you don't make any money out of it.
Mm.
You just want to share what you've done because you think it's cool, or you want to find people like you. Like what I used to do when I was a kid, I would write something, and I want to share it with people who I think would like it and maybe become friends with them or find a way to communicate with them or get their opinions on things.
Mm.
If you want to do that outside of social media now, it's almost impossible.
Yeah. And it's almost impossible inside of social media.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. And you pay stacks to boost and to place it in a prominent spot. Even that's still not a guarantee.
No. And with the algorithmic feeds, like it's not like you can just scroll back and see those things.
Well, I think, you reopen the app again and it's like that's totally changed.
Completely different.
You left off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a unique – well, people just are addicted to that that instant gratification now that comes from the curated feeds. Like I was at a thing recently with the head of, I think it was like marketing or digital for TikTok Australia. Excuse me. And he had some really interesting like statistics around, you know, you've got less than a third of a second or something to engage before they swipe up or and the way the For You feed works is completely different for every single person. Following someone on TikTok is almost unheard of because it doesn't really matter. Like, no one cares about who you follow. It's about what the algorithm serves to keep you engaged and, you know, lingering on something for just that little bit longer or half scrolling up and then scrolling back down, you know,
that's taken into consideration.
Yeah, like all of these amazing sort of things to hook you in to stay longer and keep scrolling and scrolling. And it works. Like, it's...
I put TikTok on my phone about a year ago. I gave in. I was like, all right, I'll check this out. This is popular.
Yeah.
As someone who writes about technology, I should probably have a look.
Yeah.
And it is addictive. Like, I took it off my phone around Christmas time thinking that 2024, I'm not going to use it anymore.
Mm.
I don't need to. I saw it. I know how it works. It's probably going to get banned in America anyway. It'll lose its importance.
Yeah.
It's back on my phone.
Yeah.
There's something about it, like, to fill those gaps between, like, if I got like 20 minutes between something.
Yeah.
While I was waiting for you to arrive, I was looking on TikTok just to see what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is shit. Like, this is utter garbage.
It's all garbage.
This is not helping me in any way.
Yeah.
It's nothing funny.
No.
It's almost like a hate watch. Like, I want to see the dumbest stuff that I can see so I can feel that I'm better than these people. Or it's clips of English Premier League soccer. I don't know why.
Do you like soccer?
A bit. A tiny bit. I'll watch a few games, but I'm a huge fan. I'm a bigger fan of the
AFL.
Yeah. But it should be no AFL content.
Yeah, I mean.
So the algorithm is, it takes into consideration the weirdest stuff. I like to know what it thinks about me.
Yeah.
I love some kind of transparency around all those algorithms, like on Facebook, on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
How did you get to those conclusions? And they'll never tell you because they know it's dumb and stupid. It'll expose the emperor's clothes. Yeah. But I'd like to know.
I'd love to see like the old school blog word cloud of of your TikTok,
like the tags for you.
These are the things that we currently think you're interested in. Yeah. Like, I think that'd be really interesting to see. they'll never do it, but you know, it's one of those things. But TikTok, I mean, it did evolve from whatever it was, that dance.
Yeah, the Chinese dancing, lip syncing.
Yeah. But they never really were a social media platform.
That's just straight up like TV almost.
Yeah, it was always the, we're going to give you what we think approach. And I think that's why there's a bit of a differentiator there. Like, it's not like X is now trying to just do the same or Instagram is trying to do the same. But then you've got rumors that TikTok's going to introduce photo mode. And then they've got landscape video now, which is like...
I saw one of those recently.
Yeah. And which doesn't feel right. I don't know if it ever will. But... Yeah. It's funny,
but there are people on TikTok who I don't know what they get out of it. Like, they're not making money, I don't think, directly out of it. But it's like,
not in Australia.
Yeah,
in the US they do.
So that's why I think people want whoever's making, like, there's a guy who makes, I see one. He likes coins. He's just liking finding like rare coins. He goes through all his coins and finds coins. He's not making money out of this. He hasn't got a coin business. I thought him, all right, this guy trades coins. He has a little link back.
Promoting it.
But even if he did, no one's clicking through his profile, his bio, a fraction of people. Like, only people like me who want to find out, well, what's this guy's deal, are looking into it. So I think he genuinely likes the connection with people on this platform. And people enjoy, like, the comments, I assume, from real people who like watching this guy flick through coins.
Yeah.
And it's like... Okay, I guess it's something people like it.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe the version of human interaction with a wall in between, a virtual wall.
Human interaction. If you swipe the other way and go to the live
feed, yeah.
That is genuinely some Black Mirror shit.
I've never gone down that rabbit hole. So
to me, that's the most interesting part of TikTok. Yeah. It is literally like a peeping Tom. People's lives. I remember when I first got on TikTok, you obviously didn't know what to show me.
Yeah.
You probably knew, all right, you're a male, you live in this part of Australia, and that's maybe about it.
Yeah.
So I started showing me a lot of videos of kids in school.
Yeah.
So it's like there are kids like in like year 9, year 10, 11, 12,
yeah.
they'll have their pencil case on the desk and have a phone in a pencil case, just streaming them studying and harassing the teacher.
I vaguely remember you posting about this on like Mastodon or something like you.
And I was like, this is fascinating. Like, this feels like it should be like banned. Like, I shouldn't, as a 39-year-old dude, spying on these like 15-year-old girls in class. Like, why are you showing me this?
Yeah, and nor should they be streaming from a classroom. But
I don't know why they have phones in class. I thought that shit was all banned. Like, I remember when I was at school, if you had a watch that beeped in class, the teacher would tell you to take it off. And but now it's like you can have a phone, and the teacher doesn't seem to do anything. But and then it gets evolved and evolved. And right now, the latest thing that it shows me is like people like freaks, like not like weirdos. I'm talking like people with like grotesque deformities.
Oh right,
and like. Like there'll be like or the weirdest ones are there's like a baby in like a pediatric unit and it's got some growth on it
It's being live streamed
and the parents are live streaming it to raise money for its health care.
Wow.
And it's like it's just like beep, you hear the machines being in the hospital.
That's
and then sometimes you might hear the parents come on and just say, you know, thanks for the donation.
Yeah.
You know, thanks, $10. Like on Twitch, you know, thanks for the $10. Yeah, it pops up, and it's like this.
Wow.
Or the panhandlers. Like I get a few of those in like somewhere in some third world country.
Yeah,
they're sitting with like literally in the street with like a phone streaming how much money that they get from people passing by. They could put money in their tin,
and it's people like, donate online as
and
well.
Then online.
Yeah,
and it's like this is creepy, but I like it.
Oh my
like,
god!
Like this is it's such a bizarre thing to have, like,
yeah,
just totally unfiltered. Like whereas the algorithmic ones that are pre-recorded,
yeah,
they're going for attention. They're going for some kind of, I don't know, like there's some kind of production value, or someone's chosen to put this up there.
Yeah,
but the live stuff,
yeah,
is just like things that are happening, and there's no control over it.
Yeah,
and it's all over the way. And you just keep scrolling. New guy, new person, a new woman, a new grandma, a new. Man. It's a constant, and it's. It's so weird.
It doesn't sound like something I want to open up. But, you know, it's like a car crash you can't stop
looking at. Yes, it is a very car crash mentality. And I don't know if this is good for the human brain to have access to this. Like, there is a theory on the internet that humans were never supposed to have this many connections with social media. We're never supposed to have this much information thrown at them.
Mm.
The human brain cannot process all these things happening to them. News, like a 24-hour news cycle. It's just humans cannot handle this, so they freak out and focus on the wrong things. I feel like TikTok is the same. I don't think we were supposed to have this kind of thing.
I tell you what, the closest thing I can think of, which kind of speaks to that along those lines, that's happened to me in the last couple of months, is I've forgotten to put on my watch, right?
Yep.
Just, I don't know, for whatever reason.
But like watch, you mean
the my Apple Watch. Sorry, yep. So I've you know, got up, gone out of shower, come back, put clothes on. My Apple Watch is still on the charger because you only get one day's charge. And I don't know, I've taken the dog for a walk and forgotten to put it on. And then I've come back and just not, I've had to go into a meeting or whatever and not put it on. The peace of mind of not having
notifications,
like the constant vibration on my arm. Yes, I've got my phone on me, but I don't feel it vibrate 9 times out of 10. It's in my back pocket. Like, I don't know, I've got a flat butt. I don't know why I don't feel it, but it just doesn't do the same as the watch. And the watch it's like instant. Have to look at it. Mm-hmm. Like it hasn't even finished vibrating and I'm flicking my wrist to like look at it. And if I don't do that, it's like, what if it's something important? Yeah. But that, and then I found myself not putting on my watch after a couple of days of accidentally not putting on my watch and being so much more focused and so much more present in just getting things done, like for work or whatever.
See, I've turned off my phone. Only makes notifications for an SMS, phone call from favorites.
Yeah,
and the Australia Post app, so I know I'm going to get a parcel. That's about it that happens. So I don't really mind the notifications because I tend to value. There's a very high bar for notifications on my phone.
Which is a good approach, I think.
Google, I used to have them turned on.
Yeah.
Because it was useful for when I was navigating, like walking around, I could see, you know, my wrist would beep or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they just started spamming me with.
Yeah, just crap.
You know,
yeah.
Like, oh, here's, you know, there's a restaurant in your area that's opened up and leaving a review. I don't care.
No.
Pay me to give you the review.
Yeah.
Because that's what, it benefits you, not me,
yeah.
to leave the review. So yeah, I turn all that stuff off and see. I keep it very, very slim.
So the next step from that is I don't know how, but like some YouTube video came up about minimalist phones, right?
Those e-ink ones?
Yeah. So they were the, I think they're called light phones, which were like e-ink displays, and all they did was basically message, phone, maps and something else. And it's like, well, that's impractical for my life. Like I can't do that. I mean, yes, it's got 30 days battery life or whatever. But then the next step is sort of, how do I make my iPhone a minimalist phone?
Yeah.
And there's all these sort of like widgets or complications or whatever they used to be called that you can then minimize your phone setup. So you've just literally got the text, you know, messages, whatever you want to have, messages, calendar, okay. Maps, and you shove all of your apps just in the app library at the very end. You know, they're still accessible through search or whatever like that, and then minimizing your notifications on the phone as well. And I started that process.
Okay. Has it had any benefits?
Removing unwanted notifications, definitely.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, I think you really need to have a high bar for notifications.
And not just notifications, badges.
Even the little red dots.
The little, if I see the red dot,
I have to action on it.
Yeah, and actually at work a few years ago, like we did an experiment where like we had one of our websites, you could get offers to, you know, engage with the sports and stuff like that. And we wanted to push it really hard. And all we did was add a red dot to the menu item. And didn't put a number in there, didn't put like, you know, you've seen this already, it didn't go away or anything.
Just a red dot.
Just a red dot. The number of people that clicked on that offer, like menu item, it was up 750%.
Ah, it works.
It just because we've had it built into us now that means I need to click on it. Like, so, you know, it plateaued, but it worked great for what we were trying to do at the time. So anyway, turning off a lot of that stuff, it's really made a noticeable difference in the way that I interact and how often I interact with my phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's intentional.
Yes. My phone hasn't made a single beep in this entire recording.
Yeah.
So that's why it just doesn't
that's perfect.
Yeah, I haven't got anything there.
Yeah.
I don't know how people have a default phone for all the notifications. It drives me insane.
Yeah.
Even just like the spam, like it's there's spam. Like it's ads. It's ads.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have the Temu app installed, every half an hour, the McDonald's app,
AliExpress,
the McDonald's, all the food apps,
yeah,
each one at lunchtime at dinner time will send you ads, and I thought that was banned by the App Store.
Yeah,
it is. You look at the rules; it's like you can't use it.
Yeah.
But Apple's too afraid to remove it because they know if they remove the McDonald's app from their phone, people will actually be upset, and they'll buy Android phone because it's like, well, I can use the McDonald's on the phone.
It's the same with Uber, right? Like you kind of want a notification when your car's about to arrive. I don't want the 650 notifications
to sign up for whatever.
Uber One, Uber Eats, like whatever deal you've got going because I haven't caught an Uber in a week. Yeah. Like, no. And they often don't have the controls to sort of granular change that. Yeah. Anyway, we've come a long way from TikTok, but I do just want to go back because when I left work last year, I did play around with TikTok as a creator, right? Like as I was putting photo stories on it that you could flick through and it would tell you news items and stuff like that. And the thing about TikTok from a creative perspective is that the engagement is so much higher.
So people actually do pay attention to it.
So much higher. Like there were posts, there was a review that I did of a TV that had like 500,000 views, right? Like,
well, imagine 2.5 million views on a hits on a blog.
Yeah.
I'd be partying.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be incredible. Like, so, and even the smallest things would still get like, you know, maybe you'd have a bad day and it would pick up 200 or 300, but then you'd post something else. Like, I think I posted something about an insurance company monitoring someone that wasn't working remotely, and like within an hour that had 20,000 views, right? It's almost like it's, there's a lot of theories around manufactured views on TikTok.
Yes.
But the interaction on there pushes you as a content creator to create more content.
So they, it makes sense. But then what, I know what TikTok gets out of it. People stay on the app longer. They look at the ads. They might click an ad or do something.
Yeah.
But as the creator,
what do you get out of it?
Yeah.
Sweet FA most of the time.
And even if they did have like a program where they could pay you per view, it's never going to be more than like a fraction of a cent.
No. I can't remember how they call it, like the creator fund or something like that in the US. Then you basically give them bank account and they, you know, once you get over X number of views, you can get paid for it.
YouTube has a similar thing. Like you hit a threshold and then they give you a cut of the ads.
Yeah, YouTube, you don't even qualify for ads until you have like 500,000 views or something ridiculous, like within a certain time period. Used to be everyone. Now it's
I can't understand why YouTube would do that, because it was very easy to like just put up AI-generated stuff and scam them.
And that's why YouTube's now filled with AI bullshit. Like it's just
that's a whole different thing. I don't really want to get to, we'll probably want to finish this soon, not get into a whole other 3 hour rant of AI.
So it was interesting. Like it did actually make me want to go, I'll do a few more. I'll do another one. And then when one doesn't hit, it's like, what did I do wrong? Like what did I say that wasn't, the algorithm didn't like or people didn't want? But you know, I've supposed to have launched a podcast for the last year now for CTOs, right? Like I've done all the branding, I've done the website, I've got everything set up, I've got everything up the wazoo except episodes in the can.
Yep.
And using TikTok to do videos to hold myself to account for creating it is one way of advertising it before it's even there, and putting accountability back on myself.
Yeah.
So as a creator in that regard, it would be like, well, I've told people I'm going to do it.
I have to do something.
I have to do something. Yeah. And like giving weekly updates or whatever it might be to how we're going towards that actually releasing.
Yeah. I mean, with this podcast, if I actually wanted, I don't know what the point of it is.
Yeah.
I figure it's,
I mean, we could live stream the whole thing on TikTok.
Exactly. Yeah. We could live stream. And I mean, but to actually get any, let's say my aim was to get more people to subscribe to the Sizzle, I need to put it on YouTube. I need to put it on TikTok.
Yeah.
And exactly. That's the only way people are going to find out about it.
Yeah.
And I don't,
I need like a marketing plan.
Yeah. And I don't want to. I don't want to, I don't want my face on the internet. I'm happy behind a keyboard, I'm mildly okay behind like a microphone.
Yeah.
Once you get into video, it's a whole different level of putting yourself out there. I don't know if I'm comfortable with.
I still don't like it. And the amount of videos that I've done, especially when I look back on like older ones as well, I cringe. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah. I can read my old content, it's still good.
Yeah.
But when I listen to an old podcast, I'm like, what is this? Why?
You know, there's a whole thing about comfort zones there that we could get into. And I've done a lot of executive coaching leadership work over the last 5 years and boundary conditions and pushing through those boundary conditions and what's going to blah, 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 blah. You know, I might use some of that stuff in the presentation I've got to do.
Yep.
But yeah, it is difficult. It is difficult.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of difficult, let's just end this podcast now. I think we've talked enough.
Okay.
People are just drifting off to sleep down these two old codgers.
How long do we go?
TikToks. I mean, it's been just under an hour.
Oh, that's all right.
So, but that's you want to end it early and leave it wanting more.